Chapter 21, Cooling System Operation and Diagnosis. Cooling System Purpose and Function. Purpose and function: satisfactory cooling system operation depends on the design and operating conditions of the system. The design is based on heat output of the engine, radiator size, type of coolant, size of water pump, or coolant pump, type of fan, thermostat, and system pressure. The cooling system must allow the engine to warm up to the required operating temperature as rapidly as possible, and then maintain that temperature. Peak combustion temperatures in the engine run from 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit to 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit, or 2,200 degrees Celsius to 3,300 degrees Celsius. The combustion temperatures will average between 1,200 degrees Fahrenheit and 1,700 degrees Fahrenheit, or 650 degrees Celsius and 925 degrees Celsius. Continued temperatures as high as this would weaken engine parts, so heat must be removed from the engine. The cooling system keeps the head and cylinder walls at a temperature that is within the range for maximum efficiency. The cooling system removes about one-third of the heat created in the engine. Another third escapes to the exhaust system. See Figure 21.1. Low-temperature engine problems. Engine operating temperatures must be above a minimum temperature for proper engine operation. If the coolant temperature does not reach the specified temperature, as determined by the thermostat, then the following engine-related faults can occur. AP0128 diagnostic trouble code known as DTC can be set. This code indicates coolant temperature below thermostat regulating temperature, which is usually caused by a defective thermostat staying open or partially open. Moisture created during the combustion process can condense and flow into the oil. For each gallon of fuel used, moisture equal to a gallon of water is produced. The condensed moisture combines with unburned hydrocarbons and additives to form carbonic acid, sulfuric acid, nitric acid, hydrobromic acid, and hydrochloric acid. Refer to Figure 21.1, typical combustion and exhaust temperatures. To reduce cold engine problems and to help start engines in cold climates, most manufacturers offer block heaters as an option. These block heaters are plugged into household current, or 110 volts AC, and the heating element warms the coolant. High temperature engine problems: maximum temperature limits are required to protect the engine. Higher than normal temperatures can cause the following engine-related issues. Tech tip: overheating can be expensive. A faulty cooling system seems to be a major cause of engine failure. Engine rebuilders often have nightmares about seeing their rebuilt engine placed back in service in a vehicle with a clogged radiator. Most engine technicians routinely replace the water pump and all hoses after an engine overhaul or repair. The radiator should also be checked for leaks and proper flow whenever the engine is repaired or replaced. Overheating is one of the most common causes of engine failure. High temperatures oxidize the engine oil, producing hard carbon and varnish. The varnish causes the hydraulic valve lifter plungers to stick. Higher than normal temperatures also cause the oil to become thinner, or lower viscosity than normal. Thinned oil gets into the combustion chamber by going past the piston rings and through valve guides to cause excessive oil consumption. The combustion process is very sensitive to temperature. High coolant temperatures raise the combustion temperatures to a point that may cause detonation, also called spark knock or ping, to occur. Cooling system operation. Purpose and function: coolant flows through the engine, where it picks up heat. It then flows to the radiator, where the heat is given up to the outside air. The coolant continually recirculates through the cooling system, as illustrated in figures 21.2 and 21.3. Cooling system operation: the temperature of the coolant rises as much as 15 degrees Fahrenheit, or 8 degrees Celsius, as it goes through the engine and cools as it goes through the radiator. The coolant flow rate may be as high as 1 gallon, or 4 liters, per minute for each horsepower the engine produces. Hot coolant comes out of the thermostat housing on the top of the engine on most engines. The engine coolant outlet is connected to the radiator by the upper radiator hose and clamps. The coolant in the radiator is cooled by air flowing through the radiator. As the coolant moves through the radiator, it cools. The cooler coolant leaves the radiator through an outlet in the lower radiator hose, and then flows to the inlet side of the water pump, where it is recirculated through the engine. Note: some newer engine designs, such as Chrysler's 4.7-liter V8, and General Motors' 4.8, 5.3, 5.7, and 6.0-liter V8s, place the thermostat on the inlet side of the water pump. As the cooled coolant hits the thermostat, the thermostat closes until the coolant temperature again causes it to open. Placing the thermostat in the inlet side of the water pump therefore reduces the rapid temperature changes that could cause stress in the engine, especially if aluminum heads are used with a cast iron block. Radiators are designed for the maximum rate of heat transfer using minimum space. Cooling airflow through the radiator is aided by a belt or electric motor-driven cooling fan. Refer to Figure 21.2, coolant circulates through the water jackets in the engine block and cylinder head. Thermostats. Purpose and function. There is a normal operating temperature range between low temperature and high temperature extremes. The thermostat controls the minimum normal temperature. The thermostat is a temperature-controlled valve placed at the engine coolant outlet on most engines. Thermostat operation, an encapsulated wax-based plastic pellet heat sensor is located on the engine side of the thermostatic valve. As the engine warms, heat swells the heat sensor. See Figure 21.4. A mechanical link, connected to the heat sensor, opens the thermostat valve. As the thermostat begins to open, it allows some coolant to flow to the radiator, where it is cooled. The remaining part of the coolant continues to flow through the bypass, thereby bypassing the thermostat and flowing back through the engine. See Figure 21.5. The rated temperature of the thermostat indicates the temperature at which the thermostat starts to open. The thermostat is fully open at about 20 degrees Fahrenheit higher than its opening temperature. See Chart 21.1. Refer to Figure 21.3, coolant flow through a typical engine cooling system. Refer to Figure 21.4, a cross-section of a typical wax-actuated thermostat showing the position of the wax pellet and spring. If the radiator, water pump, and coolant passages are functioning correctly, the engine should always be operating within the opening and fully open temperature range of the thermostat. See Figure 21.6. Refer to Chart 21.1, the temperature of the coolant depends on the rating of the thermostat. Refer to Figure 21.5, Figure A. When the engine is cold, the coolant flows through the bypass. Figure B. When the thermostat opens, the coolant can flow to the radiator. Refer to Figure 21.6. A thermostat stuck in the open position causes the engine to operate too cold. If a thermostat is stuck closed, this can cause the engine to overheat. Note: a bypass around the closed thermostat allows a small part of the coolant to circulate within the engine during warm-up. It is a small passage that leads from the engine side of the thermostat to the inlet side of the water pump. It allows some coolant to bypass the thermostat, even when the thermostat is open. The bypass may be cast or drilled into the engine and pump parts. See Figure 21.7. The bypass aids in uniform engine warm-up. Its operation eliminates hotspots and prevents the building of excessive coolant pressure in the engine when the thermostat is closed. Thermostat testing. There are three basic methods used to check the operation of the thermostat. 1. Hot water method. If the thermostat is removed from the vehicle and is closed, insert a 0.015 of an inch, 0.4 mm, feeler gauge in the opening so that the thermostat will hang on the feeler gauge. The thermostat should then be suspended by the feeler gauge in a container of water or coolant along with a thermometer. The container should be heated until the thermostat opens enough to release and fall from the feeler gauge. The temperature at which the thermostat falls is the opening temperature of the thermostat. If it is within 5 degrees Fahrenheit, 15 degrees Celsius, of the temperature stamped on the thermostat is satisfactory for use. Tech tip. Do not take out the thermostat. Some vehicle owners and technicians remove the thermostat in the cooling system to cure an overheating problem. In some cases, removing the thermostat can cause overheating rather than stop it. This is true for three reasons. 1. Without a thermostat, the coolant can flow more quickly through the radiator. The thermostat adds some restriction to the coolant flow, and therefore keeps the coolant in the radiator longer. This also allows additional time for the heat transfer between the hot engine parts and the coolant. 2. Heat transfer is greater with a greater difference between the coolant temperature and air temperature. Therefore, when coolant flow rate is increased, or no thermostat, the temperature difference is reduced. 3. Without the restriction of the thermostat, much of the coolant flow often bypasses the radiator entirely and returns directly to the engine. Refer to Figure 21.7, a cutaway of a small block Chevrolet V8 showing the passage from the cylinder head through the front of the intake manifold to the thermostat. Frequently asked question. Why is an electronic thermostat used in some engines? An electronic thermostat allows the engine temperature to be more closely controlled during cruise, city driving, or heavy load conditions to optimize fuel economy and reduce exhaust emissions. See Figure 21.8. 2. Infrared thermometer method. An infrared thermometer, also called a pyrometer, can be used to measure the temperature of the coolant near the thermostat. The area on the engine side of the thermostat should be at the highest temperature that exists in the engine. A properly operating cooling system should cause the pyrometer to read as follows. As the engine warms, the temperature reaches near thermostat opening temperature. As the thermostat opens, the temperature drops just as the thermostat opens, sending coolant to the radiator. As the thermostat cycles, the temperature should range between the opening temperature of the thermostat and 20 degrees Fahrenheit, or 11 degrees Celsius, above the opening temperature. Refer to Figure 21.8. An electronic thermostat uses a wax pellet to open and a spring to close it, but it also uses an electric heater controlled by the powertrain control module, or PCM, to accurately control engine coolant temperature. Refer to Figure 21.9. A scan tool can be used to monitor the engine coolant temperature known as ECT. Note, if the temperature rises higher than 20 degrees Fahrenheit, or 11 degrees Celsius, above the opening temperature of the thermostat, inspect the cooling system for a restriction or a low coolant flow. A clogged radiator could also cause the excessive temperature rise. 3. Scan tool method. A scan tool can be used on many vehicles to read the actual temperature of the coolant as detected by the engine coolant temperature, ECT, sensor. Although the sensor or the wiring to and from the sensor may be defective, at least the scan tool can indicate what the computer thinks is the engine coolant temperature. See Figure 21.9. Thermostat replacement. Two important indicators about a thermostat include: 1. An overheating engine may result from a faulty thermostat. 2. An engine that does not get warm enough always indicates a faulty thermostat. To replace the thermostat, coolant will have to be drained from the radiator drain petcock to lower the coolant level below the thermostat. It is not necessary to completely drain the system. The hose should be removed from the thermostat housing neck, and then the housing removed to expose the thermostat. See Figure 21.10. The gasket flanges of the engine and thermostat housing should be cleaned, and the gasket surface of the housing must be flat. The thermostat should be placed in the engine with the sensing pellet toward the engine. Make sure that the thermostat position is correct, and install the thermostat housing with a new gasket or O-ring. Caution: failure to set the thermostat into the recessed groove will cause the housing to become tilted when tightened. If this happens and the housing bolts are tightened, the housing will usually crack, creating a leak. Figure 21.10. Some thermostats are an integral part of the housing. This thermostat and radiator hose housing is serviced as an assembly. Some thermostats snap into the engine radiator fill tube underneath the pressure cap. The upper hose should then be installed and the system refilled. Install the correct size of radiator hose clamp. Radiators. Types: the two types of radiator cores in common use in most vehicles are serpentine fin core, plate fin core. In each of these types, the coolant flows through oval-shaped core tubes. Heat is transferred through the tube wall and solder joint to cooling fins. The fins are exposed to the air that flows through the radiator, which removes heat from the radiator and carries it away. See Figures 21.11 and 21.12. Older automobile radiators were made from yellow brass. Since the 1980s, most radiators have been made from aluminum with nylon-reinforced plastic side tanks. These materials are corrosion-resistant, have good heat transferability, and are easily formed. Core tubes are made from 0.0045 to 0.012 of an inch, or 0.1 to 0.3 millimeters, sheet brass or aluminum, using the thinnest possible materials for each application. The metal is rolled into round tubes and the joints are sealed with a locking seam. The two basic designs of radiators include: 1. Downflow radiators. This design was used mostly in older vehicles, where the coolant entered the radiator at the top and flowed downward, exiting the radiator at the bottom. 2. Cross-flow radiators. Most radiators use a cross-flow design, where the coolant flows from one side of the radiator to the opposite side. Refer to Figure 21.11, the tubes and fins of the radiator core. Refer to Figure 21.12. A radiator may be either a downflow or a cross-flow type. How radiators work. The main limitation of heat transfer in a cooling system is in the transfer from the radiator to the air. Heat transfers from the water to the fins as much as 7 times faster than heat transfers from the fins to the air, assuming equal surface exposure. The radiator must be capable of removing an amount of heat energy approximately equal to the heat energy of the power produced by the engine. Each horsepower is equivalent to 42 BTU, or 10,800 calories per minute. As the engine power is increased, the heat removing requirement of the cooling system is also increased. With a given frontal area, radiator capacity may be increased by increasing the core thickness, packing more material into the same volume, or both. The radiator capacity may also be increased by placing a shroud around the fan so that more air will be pulled through the radiator. Note, the lower air dam in the front of the vehicle is used to help direct the air through the radiator. If this air dam is broken or missing, the engine may overheat, especially during highway driving due to the reduced airflow through the radiator. When a transmission oil cooler is used in the radiator, it is placed in the outlet tank, where the coolant has the lowest temperature. See Figure 2113. Refer to Figure 2113. Many vehicles equipped with an automatic transmission use a transmission fluid cooler installed in one of the radiator tanks. Pressure caps. Operation: on most radiators, the filler neck is fitted with a pressure cap. The cap has a spring-loaded valve that closes the cooling system vent. This causes cooling pressure to build up to the pressure setting of the cap. At this point, the valve will release the excess pressure to prevent system damage. Engine cooling systems are pressurized to raise the boiling temperature of the coolant. The boiling temperature will increase by approximately 3 degrees Fahrenheit, or 16 degrees Celsius, for each pound of increase in pressure. At sea level, water will boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, or 100 degrees Celsius. With a 15 psi, or 100 kPa, pressure cap, water will boil at 257 degrees Fahrenheit, or 125 degrees Celsius, which is a maximum operating temperature for an engine. Tech tip: working better under pressure. A problem that sometimes occurs with a high-pressure cooling system involves the water pump. For the pump to function, the inlet side of the pump must have a lower pressure than its outlet side. If inlet pressure is lowered too much, the coolant at the pump inlet can boil, producing vapor. The pump will then spin the coolant vapors and not pump coolant. This condition is called pump cavitation. Therefore, a radiator cap could be the cause of an overheating problem. A pump will not pump enough coolant if not kept under the proper pressure for preventing vaporization of the coolant. Functions: the specified coolant system temperature serves two functions. 1. It allows the engine to run at an efficient temperature, close to 200 degrees Fahrenheit, or 93 degrees Celsius, with no danger of boiling the coolant. 2. The higher the coolant temperature, the more heat the cooling system can transfer. The heat transferred by the cooling system is proportional to the temperature difference between the coolant and the outside air. This characteristic has led to the design of small, high-pressure radiators that are capable of handling large quantities of heat. For proper cooling, the system must have the right pressure cap correctly installed. A vacuum valve is part of the pressure cap and is used to allow coolant to flow back into the radiator when the coolant cools down and contracts. See Figure 2114. Note: the proper operation of the pressure cap is especially important at high altitudes. The boiling point of water is lowered by about 1 degree Fahrenheit for every 550 feet increase in altitude. Therefore, in Denver, Colorado, altitude 5,280 feet, the boiling point of water is about 202 degrees Fahrenheit, and at the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado, which is 14,110 feet, water boils at 186 degrees Fahrenheit. Metric radiator caps. According to the SAE handbook, all radiator caps must indicate their nominal, or normal, pressure rating. Most original equipment radiator caps are rated at about 14 to 16 psi, or 97 to 110 kPa. However, many vehicles manufactured in Japan or Europe use radiator pressure indicated in a unit called a bar. One bar is the pressure of the atmosphere at sea level, or about 14.7 psi. The conversions in chart 21.2 can be used when replacing a radiator cap to make certain it matches the pressure rating of the original. Note: many radiator repair shops use a 7 psi or 0.5 bar radiator cap on a repaired radiator. A 7 psi cap can still provide boil protection of 21 degrees Fahrenheit or 3 degrees Fahrenheit times 7 psi equals 21 degrees Fahrenheit above the boiling point of the coolant. For example, if the boiling point of the antifreeze coolant is 223 degrees Fahrenheit, then 21 degrees Fahrenheit is added for the pressure cap, and boil over will not occur until about 244 degrees Fahrenheit. 223 degrees Fahrenheit plus 21 degrees Fahrenheit equals 244 degrees Fahrenheit. Even though this lower pressure radiator cap provides some protection and will also help protect the radiator repair, the coolant can still boil before the hot dash warning light comes on and, therefore, should not be used. In addition, the lower pressure in the cooling system could cause cavitation to occur and damage the water pump. For best results, always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended radiator cap. Refer to chart 21.2, comparison showing the metric pressure as shown on the top of the cap to pounds per inch 2. Refer to figure 21.14, the pressure valve maintains the system pressure and allows excess pressure to vent. The vacuum valve allows coolant to return to the system from the recovery tank. Case study: the collapsed radiator hose story. An automotive student asked the automotive instructor what brand of radiator hose is the best. Not knowing exactly what to say, the instructor asked if there was a problem with the brand hose used. The student had tried three brands and all of them collapsed when the engine cooled. The instructor then explained that the vehicle needed a new pressure cap and not a new upper radiator hose. The student thought that because the lower hose did not collapse, that the problem had to be a fault with the hose. The instructor then explained that the lower radiator hose has a spring inside to keep the lower hose from collapsing due to the lower pressure created at the inlet or the water pump. The radiator cap was replaced and the upper radiator hose did not collapse when the engine cooled. Summary: complaint, an automotive student stated the upper radiator hose would collapse when the engine cools. Cause, the upper radiator collapsed due to a fault with the radiator pressure cap. Correction, a new radiator cap solved the problem. Coolant recovery systems. Purpose and function: excess pressure usually forces some coolant from the system through an overflow. Most cooling systems connect the overflow to a plastic reservoir to hold excess coolant while the system is hot. See figure 21.15. Refer to figure 21.15, the level in the coolant recovery system raises and lowers with engine temperature. Refer to figure 21.16, some vehicles use a surge tank, which is located at the highest level of the cooling system, with a radiator cap. When the system cools, the pressure in the cooling system is reduced and a partial vacuum forms. This vacuum pulls the coolant from the plastic container back into the cooling system, keeping the system full. Because of this action, the system is called a coolant recovery system. A vacuum valve allows coolant to re-enter the system as the system cools so that the radiator parts will not collapse under the partial vacuum. Surge tank. Some vehicles use a surge tank, which is located at the highest level of the cooling system and holds about 1 quart, or 1 liter, of coolant. A hose attaches to the bottom of the surge tank to the inlet side of the water pump. A smaller bleed hose attaches to the side of the surge tank to the highest point of the radiator. The bleed line allows some coolant circulation through the surge tank. Air in the system will rise below the radiator cap and be forced from the system if the pressure in the system exceeds the rating of the radiator cap. See figure 21.16. Water pumps. Operation: the water pump, also called a coolant pump, is driven by one of two methods. Crankshaft belt, or camshaft. Coolant recirculates from the radiator to the engine and back to the radiator. Low temperature coolant leaves the radiator by the bottom outlet. It is pumped into the warm engine block, where it picks up some heat. From the block, the warm coolant flows to the hot cylinder head, where it picks up more heat. Note, some engines use reverse cooling. This means that the coolant flows from the radiator to the cylinder heads before flowing to the engine block. Water pumps are not positive displacement pumps. The water pump is a centrifugal pump that can move a large volume of coolant without increasing the pressure of the coolant. The pump pulls coolant in at the center of the impeller. Centrifugal force throws the coolant outward so that it is discharged at the impeller tips. See figure 21.17. Refer to figure 21.17, coolant flow through the impeller and scroll of a coolant pump for a V-type engine. Frequently asked question: how much coolant can a water pump move? A typical water pump can move a maximum of about 7,500 gallons, or 28,000 liters, of coolant per hour, or recirculate the coolant in the engine over 20 times per minute. This means that a water pump could be used to empty a typical private swimming pool in an hour. The slower the engine speed, the less power is consumed by the water pump. However, even at 35 miles per hour, or 56 kilometers per hour, the typical water pump still moves about 2,000 gallons, or 7,500 liters, per hour, or 0.5 gallon, or 2 liters, per second. See figure 21.18. As engine speeds increase, more heat is produced by the engine and more cooling capacity is required. The pump impeller speed increases as the engine speed increases to provide extra coolant flow at the very time it is needed. Coolant leaving the pump impeller is fed through a scroll. The scroll is a smoothly curved passage that changes the fluid flow direction with minimum loss in velocity. The scroll is connected to the front of the engine so as to direct the coolant into the engine block. On V-type engines, two outlets are often used, one for each cylinder bank. Occasionally, diverters are necessary in the water pump scroll to equalize coolant flow between the cylinder banks of a V-type engine in order to equalize the cooling. Water pump service: a worn impeller on a water pump can reduce the amount of coolant flow through the engine. See Figure 21.19. If the seal of the water pump fails, coolant will leak out of the weep hole. The hole allows coolant to escape without getting trapped and forced into the water pump bearing assembly. See Figure 21.20. If the bearing is defective, the pump will usually be noisy and will have to be replaced. Before replacing a water pump that has failed because of a loose or noisy bearing, check all of the following. 1. Dry belt tension. 2. Bent fan. 3. Fan for balance. Refer to Figure 21.18, a demonstration engine running on a stand, showing the amount of coolant flow that actually occurs through the cooling system. Refer to Figure 21.19. This severely corroded water pump could not circulate enough coolant to keep the engine cool. As a result, the engine overheated and blew a head gasket. Refer to Figure 21.20. The bleed weep hole in the water pump allows coolant to leak out of the pump and not be forced into the bearing. If the bearing failed, more serious damage could result. Refer to Figure 21.21, a cutaway of a typical water pump showing the long bearing assembly and the seal. The weep hole is located between the seal and the bearing. If the seal fails, then coolant flows out of the weep hole to prevent the coolant from damaging the bearing. Tech tip: release the belt tension before checking a water pump. The technician should release water pump belt tension before checking for water pump bearing looseness. To test a water pump bearing, it is normal to check the fan for movement. However, if the drive belt is tight, any looseness in the bearing will not be felt. If the water pump drive belt is too tight, excessive force may be exerted against the pump bearing. If the cooling fan is bent or out of balance, the resulting vibration can damage the water pump bearing. See Figure 21.21. Coolant flow in the engine. Types of systems: coolant flows through the engine in one of the following ways. Parallel flow system: in the parallel flow system, coolant flows into the block under pressure and then crosses the head gasket to the head through main coolant passages beside each cylinder. Series flow system: in the series flow system, the coolant flows around all the cylinders on each bank. The coolant then enters the rear of the heads. In the heads, the coolant flows forward to a crossover passage on the intake manifold outlet at the highest point in the engine cooling passage. This is usually located at the front of the engine. The outlet is either on the heads or in the intake manifold. See Figure 21.22. Series parallel flow system: some engines use a combination of these two coolant flow systems and call it a series parallel flow system. Any steam that develops will go directly to the top of the radiator. In series flow systems, bleed holes or steam slits in the gasket, block, and head perform the function of letting out the steam. Coolant flow and head gasket design: most V-type engines use cylinder heads that are interchangeable side to side, but not all engines. See Figure 21.23. Refer to Figure 21.22, a series type cooling system where the coolant first flows through the engine block, then to the heads, before returning to the radiator after passing through the thermostat. Refer to Figure 21.23, a Chevrolet V8 block that shows the large coolant holes and the smaller gas vent or bleed holes that must match the head gasket when the engine is assembled. Cooling fans. Electronically controlled cooling fan. Two types of electric cooling fans used on many engines include 1. Two-speed cooling fan. 2. Cooling fans, one for normal cooling and one for high heat conditions. The PCM commands low-speed fans on under the following conditions. The engine coolant temperature exceeds approximately 223 degrees Fahrenheit, or 106 degrees Celsius. The AC refrigerant pressure exceeds 190 psi, or 1,310 kPa. The PCM commands the high-speed fan on under the following conditions. The ECT reaches 230 degrees Fahrenheit, or 110 degrees Celsius. The AC refrigerant pressure exceeds 240 psi, 1,655 kPa. Certain diagnostic trouble codes set. To prevent a fan from cycling on and off excessively at idle, the Fan may not turn off until the ignition switch is moved to the off position or the vehicle's speed exceeds approximately 10 miles per hour, 16 kilometers per hour. Many rear-wheel drive vehicles and all transverse engines drive the fan with an electric motor. See Figure 21-24. Warning: some electric cooling fans can come on after the engine is off without warning. Always keep hands and fingers away from the cooling fan blades unless the electrical connector has been disconnected to prevent the fan from coming on. Always follow all warnings and cautions. Refer to Figure 21-24, a typical electric cooling fan assembly showing the radiator and related components. Note: most electric cooling fans are computer controlled. To save energy, most cooling fans are turned off whenever the vehicle is traveling faster than 35 miles per hour, or 55 kilometers per hour. The ram air caused by the vehicle speed is enough to keep the radiator cool. Of course, if the computer senses that the temperature is still too high, the computer will turn on the cooling fan to high, if possible, in an attempt to cool the engine to avoid severe engine damage. Thermostatic fans. On some rear-wheel drive vehicles, a thermostatic cooling fan is driven by a belt from the crankshaft. It turns faster as the engine turns faster. Generally, the engine is required to produce more power at higher speeds. Therefore, the cooling system will also transfer more heat. Increased fan speed aids in the required cooling. Engine heat also becomes critical at low engine speeds in traffic where the vehicle moves slowly. The thermostatic fan is designed so that it uses little power at high engine speeds and minimizes noise. Two types of thermostatic fans include: 1. Silicon coupling. The silicon coupling fan drive is mounted between the drive pulley and the fan. Note: when diagnosing an overheating problem, look carefully at the cooling fan. If silicon is leaking, then the fan may not be able to function correctly and should be replaced. 2. Thermostatic spring. A second type of thermal fan has a thermostatic spring added to the silicone coupling fan drive. The thermostatic spring operates a valve that allows the fan to freewheel when the radiator is cold. As the radiator warms to about 150 degrees Fahrenheit, or 65 degrees Celsius, the air hitting the thermostatic spring will cause the spring to change its shape. The new shape of the spring opens a valve that allows the drive to operate like the silicone coupling drive. When the engine is very cold, the fan may operate at high speeds for a short time until the drive fluid warms slightly. The silicone fluid will then flow into a reservoir to let the fan speed drop to idle. See Figure 21-25. The fan is designed to move enough air at the lowest fan speed to cool the engine when it is at its highest coolant temperature. The fan shroud is used to increase the cooling system efficiency. Tech tip: be sure to always use a fan shroud. A fan shroud forces the fan to draw air through the radiator. If a fan shroud is not used, then air is drawn from around the fan and will reduce the airflow through the radiator. Many overheating problems are a result of not replacing the factory shroud after engine work or body repair work to the front of the vehicle. Figure 21-25: a typical engine-driven thermostatic spring cooling fan. Heater cores. Purpose and function: most of the heat absorbed from the engine by the cooling system is wasted. Some of this heat, however, is recovered by the vehicle heater. Heated coolant is passed through tubes in the small core of the heater. Air is passed across the heater fins and is then sent to the passenger compartment. In some vehicles, the heater and air conditioning work in series to maintain vehicle compartment temperature. See Figure 21-26. Heater problem diagnosis: when the heater does not produce the desired amount of heat, many owners and technicians replace the thermostat before doing any other troubleshooting. It is true that a defective thermostat is the reason for the engine not to reach normal operating temperature, but there are many other causes besides a defective thermostat that can result in lack of heat from the heater. To determine the exact cause, follow this procedure. Step 1: after the engine has been operated, feel the upper radiator hose. If the engine is up to proper operating temperature, the upper radiator hose should be too hot to hold. The hose should also be pressurized. A. If the hose is not hot enough, replace the thermostat. B. If the hose is not pressurized, test or replace the radiator pressure cap if it will not hold the specified pressure. C. If okay, see Step 2. Step 2: with the engine running, feel both heater hoses. The heater should be set to the maximum heat position. Both hoses should be too hot to hold. If both hoses are warm, not hot, or cool, check the heater control valve for proper operation, if equipped. If one hose is hot and the other, return, is just warm or cool, Remove both hoses from the heater core or engine and flush the heater core with water from a garden hose. Step 3. If both heater hoses are hot and there is still a lack of heating concern, then the fault is most likely due to an airflow blend door malfunction. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow. Refer to Figure 2126, a typical heater core installed in a heating, ventilation, and air conditioning housing assembly. Note: heat from the heater that comes and goes is most likely the result of low coolant level. Usually with the engine at idle, there is enough coolant flow through the heater. At higher engine speeds, however, the lack of coolant through the heads and block prevents sufficient flow through the heater. Cooling system testing. Visual inspection. Many cooling system faults can be found by performing a thorough visual inspection. Items that can be inspected visually include: the water pump drive belt for tension or faults, the cooling fan for faults, the heater and radiator hoses for condition and leak, the coolant overflow or surge tank coolant level, any evidence of coolant loss, the radiator condition. See Figure 2127. Pressure testing. Pressure testing using a hand-operated pressure tester is a quick and easy cooling system test. The radiator cap is removed and the tester is attached in the place of the radiator cap. By operating the plunger on the pump, the entire cooling system is pressurized. See Figure 2128. Refer to Figure 2127, a heavily corroded radiator from a vehicle that was overheating. A visual inspection discovered that the corrosion had eaten away many of the cooling fins, yet did not leak. This radiator was replaced and it solved the overheating problem. Refer to Figure 2128, pressure testing the cooling system. A typical hand-operated pressure tester applies pressure equal to the radiator cap pressure. The pressure should hold. If it drops, this indicates a leak somewhere in the cooling system. An adapter is used to attach the pump to the cap to determine if the radiator can hold pressure, and release it when pressure rises above its maximum rated pressure setting. Caution: do not pump up the pressure beyond that specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Most systems should not be pressurized beyond 14 psi, or 100 kilopascals. If a greater pressure is used, it may cause the water pump, radiator, heater core, or hoses to fail. If the cooling system is free from leaks, the pressure should stay and not drop. If the pressure drops, look for evidence of leaks anywhere in the cooling system, including: 1. The heater hoses. 2. The radiator hoses. 3. The radiator. 4. The heater core. 5. The cylinder head. 6. The core plugs in the side of the block or cylinder head. Pressure testing should be performed whenever there is a leak or suspected leak. The pressure tester can also be used to test the radiator cap. An adapter is used to connect the pressure tester to the radiator cap. Replace any cap that will not hold pressure. See Figure 2129. Figure 2129. The pressure cap should be checked for proper operation using a pressure tester as part of the cooling system diagnosis. Coolant dye leak testing. One of the best methods to check for a coolant leak is to use a fluorescent dye in the coolant, one that is specifically designed for coolant. Operate the vehicle with the dye in the coolant until the engine reaches normal operating temperature. Use a black light to inspect all areas of the cooling system. When there is a leak, it will be easy to spot because the dye in the coolant will be seen as bright green. See Figure 2130. Refer to Figure 2130. Use dye specifically made for coolant when checking for leaks using a black light. Coolant temperature warning light. Purpose and function. Most vehicles are equipped with a heat sensor for the engine operating temperature indicator light. If the warning light comes on during driving, or the temperature gauge goes into the red danger zone, then the coolant temperature is about 250 degrees Fahrenheit to 258 degrees Fahrenheit, or 120 degrees Celsius to 126 degrees Celsius, which is still below the boiling point of the coolant, assuming a properly operating pressure cap and system. See Figure 2131. Precautions: if the coolant temperature warning light comes on, follow these steps. Step 1. Shut off the air conditioning and turn on the heater. The heater will help rid the engine of extra heat. Set the blower speed to high. Step 2. If possible, shut the engine off and let it cool. This may take over an hour. Step 3. Never remove the radiator cap when the engine is hot. Step 4. Do not continue to drive with the hot light on, or serious damage to your engine could result. Step 5. If the engine does not feel or smell hot, it is possible that the problem is a faulty hot light sensor or gauge. Continue to drive, but to be safe, Stop occasionally and check for any evidence of overheating or coolant loss. Common causes of overheating. Overheating can be caused by defects in the cooling system, such as the following. 1. Low coolant level. 2. Plugged, dirty, or blocked radiator. 3. Defective fan clutch or electric fan. 4. Low engine oil level. 5. Broken fan drive belt. 6. Defective radiator cap. 7. Dragging brakes. 8. Frozen coolant. 9. Defective thermostat. 10. Defective water pump, the impeller slipping on the shaft internally. 11. Blocked cooling passages in the block or cylinder heads. Refer to Figure 2131. When an engine overheats, often the coolant overflow container boils. Cooling system inspection. Coolant level. The cooling system is one of the most maintenance-free systems in the engine. Normal maintenance involves an occasional check on the coolant level. It should also include a visual inspection for signs of coolant system leaks and for the condition of the coolant hoses and fan drive belts. Accessory drive belt tension, drive belt condition and proper installation are important for the proper operation of the cooling system. There are four ways vehicle manufacturers specify that the belt tension is within factory specifications. 1. The belt tension gauge. A belt tension gauge is needed to achieve the specified belt tension. Install the belt and operate the engine with all of the accessories turned on, to run in the belt for at least 5 minutes. Adjust the tension of the accessory drive belt to factory specifications or use. See Chart 21.3 for an example of the proper tension based on the size of the belt. Replace any serpentine belt that has more than 3 cracks in any one rib that appears in a 3-inch span, or is worn based on a belt wear gauge test result. For more information visit www.gates.com. 2. Marks on the tensioner. Many tensioners have marks that indicate the normal operating tension range for the accessory drive belt. Check service information for the location of the tensioner mark. See Figure 2132. 3. Torque wrench reading. Some vehicle manufacturers specify that a beam-type torque wrench be used to determine the torque needed to rotate the tensioner. If the torque reading is below specifications, the tensioner must be replaced. 4. Deflection. Depress the belt between the two pulleys that are the farthest apart and the flex or deflection should be half of an inch. Case study. Highway overheating. A vehicle owner complained of an overheating vehicle, but the problem occurred only while driving at highway speeds. The vehicle, equipped with a four-cylinder engine, would run in a perfectly normal manner in city driving situations. The technician flushed the cooling system and replaced the radiator cap and the water pump, thinking that restricted coolant flow was the cause of the problem. Further testing revealed coolant spray out of one cylinder when the engine was turned over by the starter with the spark plugs removed. A new head gasket solved the problem. Obviously, the head gasket leak was not great enough to cause any problems until the engine speed and load created enough flow and heat to cause the coolant temperature to soar. The technician also replaced the oxygen sensor. Summary. Complaint: the customer stated that the engine would overheat, but only if driven at highway speed. Cause: the root cause was determined to be a defective head gasket. Correction: the head gasket was replaced and the oxygen sensor was also replaced because coolant can cause the sensor to read incorrectly. Replacing the oxygen sensor was done to be ensured that the engine ran correctly. Refer to Chart 21.3, the number of ribs determines the tension range of the belt. Tech tip: the water spray trick. Lower than normal alternator output could be the result of a loose or slipping drive belt. All belts, V and serpentine multi-groove, use an interference angle between the angle of the versus of the belt and the angle of the versus on the pulley. A belt wears this interference angle off the edges of the V of the belt. As a result, the belt may start to slip and make a squealing sound even if tensioned properly. A common trick to determine if the noise is from the belt is to spray water from a squirt bottle at the belt with the engine running. If the noise stops, the belt is the cause of the noise. The water quickly evaporates and therefore, water just finds the problem, it does not provide a short-term fix. Warning: the coolant level should only be checked when the engine is cool. Removing the pressure cap from a hot engine will release the cooling system pressure while the coolant temperature is above its atmospheric boiling temperature. When the cap is removed, the pressure will instantly drop to atmospheric pressure level, causing the coolant to boil immediately. Vapors from the boiling liquid will blow coolant from the system. Coolant will be lost, and someone may be injured or burned by the high temperature coolant that is blown out of the filler opening. Cooling system service. Flushing coolant. Flushing the cooling system includes the following steps. Step 1. Drain the system. Dispose of the old coolant correctly. Step 2. Fill the system with clean water and a flushing/cleaning chemical. Step 3. Start the engine until it reaches operating temperature with the heater on. Step 4. Drain the system and fill with clean water. Step 5. Repeat until drain water runs clear. Any remaining flush agent will upset the pH. Step 6. Fill the system with 50-50 antifreeze and water mix or pre-mixed coolant. Step 7. Start the engine until it reaches operating temperature with the heater on. Step 8. Adjust coolant level as needed. Refer to Figure 2132, typical marks on an accessory drive belt tensioner. Bleeding the air out of the cooling system is important because air can prevent proper operation of the heater and can cause the engine to overheat. Use a clear hose attached to the bleeder valve and the other end in a suitable container. This prevents coolant from getting on the engine and gives the technician a visual clue as to the color of coolant. See Figure 2133. Check service information for specific bleeding procedures and location of the air bleeder fittings. Coolant exchange machine. Many coolant exchange machines are able to perform one or more of the following operations. The exchange old coolant with new coolant. Flush the cooling system. Pressure or vacuum check the cooling system for leaks. The use of a coolant exchange machine pulls a vacuum on the cooling system, which helps eliminate air pockets from forming during coolant replacement. If an air pocket were to occur, the following symptoms may occur. 1. Lack of heat from the heater. Air rises and can form in the heater core, which will prevent coolant from flowing. 2. Overheating. The engine can overheat due to the lack of proper coolant flow through the system. Always follow the operating instructions for the coolant exchange machine being used. See Figure 2134. Hose inspection. Coolant system hoses are critical to engine cooling. As the hoses get old, they become either soft or brittle and sometimes swell in diameter. Their condition depends on their material and on the engine service conditions. If a hose breaks while the engine is running, all coolant will be lost. A hose should be replaced any time it appears to be abnormal. Refer to Figure 2133. Figure A. Many vehicle manufacturers recommend that the bleeder valve be opened whenever refilling the cooling system. Figure B. Chrysler recommends that a clear plastic hose, 1/4 inch ID, be attached to the bleeder valve and directed into a suitable container to keep from spilling coolant onto the ground and on the engine, and to allow the technician to observe the flow of coolant for any remaining air bubbles. Note: to make hose removal easier and to avoid possible damage to the radiator, use a utility knife and slit the hose lengthwise. Then simply peel the hose off. The hose and hose clamp should be positioned so that the clamp is close to the bead on the neck. This is especially important on aluminum hose necks to avoid corrosion. When the hoses are in, refer to Figure 2134. Using a coolant exchange machine helps eliminate the problem of air getting into the system, which can cause overheating or lack of heat due to air pockets getting trapped in the system. Tech tip: always replace the pressure cap. Replace the old radiator cap with a new cap with the same pressure rating. The cap can be located on the following: 1. The radiator. 2. The coolant recovery reservoir. 3. The upper radiator hose. Warning: never remove a pressure cap from a hot engine. When the pressure is removed from the system, the coolant will immediately boil and will expand upward, throwing scalding coolant in all directions. Hot coolant can cause serious burns. Place in the drain petcock is closed, the cooling system can be refilled with the correct coolant mixture. Disposing of used coolant. Used coolant drained from vehicles should be disposed of according to state or local laws. Some communities permit draining into the sewer. Ethylene glycol will easily biodegrade. There could be problems with groundwater contamination, however, if coolant is spilled on open ground. Check with recycling companies authorized by local or state governments for the exact method recommended for disposal in your area. Cleaning the radiator exterior. Overheating can result from exterior and interior radiator plugging. External plugging is caused by dirt and insects. This type of plugging can be seen if you look straight through the radiator while a light is held behind it. It is most likely to occur on off-road vehicles. The plugged exterior of the radiator core can usually be cleaned with water pressure from a hose. The water is aimed at the engine side of the radiator. The water should flow freely through the core at all locations. If this does not clean the core, the radiator should be removed for cleaning at a radiator shop. Hose clamps. There are several types of hose clamps used, depending on the make, model, and year of the vehicle. The three basic types are as follows. 1. The worm drive, also called a screw band type. 2. The banded type clamp. 3. Wire clamp, or spring type. Refer to Figure 2135. Hose clamps come in a variety of shapes and designs. Refer to Figure 2136. THE top 3/8 of an inch hose is designed for oil and similar liquids, whereas the 3/8 of an inch hose below is labeled heater hose and is designed for coolant. Tech tip. Always use heater hoses designed for coolant. Many heater hoses are sizes that can also be used for other purposes, such as oil lines. Always check and use hose that states it is designed for heater or cooling system use. See Figure 2136. Tech tip. Quick and easy cooling system problem diagnosis. 1. If overheating occurs in slow stop and go traffic, the usual cause is low airflow through the radiator. Check for airflow blockages or cooling fan malfunction. 2. If overheating occurs at highway speeds, the cause is usually a radiator or coolant circulation problem. Check for a restricted or clogged radiator. Review questions. Question 1. What is normal operating coolant temperature? Question 2. Explain the flow of coolant through the engine and radiator. Question 3. Why is a cooling system pressurized? Question 4. Describe how to diagnose a heater problem. Question 5. What are 10 common causes of overheating? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. What diagnostic trouble code could be set if the thermostat is defective? A. PO300. B. PO171. C. PO440. D. PO128. Question 2. What is the purpose of the lower air dam in the front of vehicles? A. To help direct the air through the radiator. B. To direct the air to the automatic transmission. C. To improve the looks of the vehicle. D. Both B and C. Question 3. What type of pump is a water pump? A. Positive displacement. B. Centrifugal pump. C. Vane type pump. D. Gear type pump. Question 4. Water pumps. A. Only work at idle and low speeds and are disengaged at higher speeds. B. Use engine oil as a lubricant and coolant. C. Are driven by the engine crankshaft or camshaft. D. Disengage during freezing weather to prevent radiator failure. Question 5. Which statement is true about thermostats? A. The temperature marked on the thermostat is the temperature at which the thermostat should be fully open. B. Thermostats control the flow of coolant to the heater. C. The temperature marked on the thermostat is the temperature at which the thermostat should start to open. D. Both A and B. Question 6. The normal operating temperature, coolant temperature, of an engine equipped with a 195 degrees Fahrenheit thermostat is A. 175 degrees Fahrenheit to 195 degrees Fahrenheit, B. 185 degrees Fahrenheit to 205 degrees Fahrenheit, C. 195 degrees Fahrenheit to 215 degrees Fahrenheit, D. 175 degrees Fahrenheit to 215 degrees Fahrenheit. Question 7. The upper radiator collapses when the engine cools. What is the most likely cause? A. Defective upper radiator hose. B. Missing spring from the upper radiator hose, which is used to keep it from collapsing. C. Defective thermostat. D. Defective radiator pressure cap. Question 8. A customer complains that the heater works sometimes, but sometimes only cold air comes out while driving. Technician A says that the water pump is defective. Technician B says that the cooling system could be low on coolant. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Defective pressure cap. Question 9. Technician A says that dirty or blocked radiator can cause the engine to overheat. Technician B says that overheating can be caused by a defective water pump. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. What can be done to prevent air from getting trapped in the cooling system when the coolant is replaced? A. Pour the coolant into the radiator slowly. B. Use a coolant exchange machine that draws a vacuum on the system. C. Open the air bleeder valves while adding coolant. D. Either B or C. End of chapter 21.